So today's passage is a story from is this going to work? Yeah. Today's passage is a story from Matthew about Joseph. And Joseph is someone we often don't really look at, except as a sort of accompanying figure in the Christmas story. You know, a supporting figure, but someone whose words are never recorded. I think he's got it right now. Great. A working craftsman who brought up Jesus to taught him to work building materials as well. But there's a lot more to Joseph than what than perhaps we can think about here. So we can really, if we read this passage closely, we will, I think, discover quite a bit more about him. So the passage begins in English as being about the birth of Jesus. But actually the Greek word used is the word Genesis, or Genesis as we might think of it. It's the word for origin rather than birth, which is the word Genesis. So they're slightly similar, and probably some scribes, when they were copying it out, thought, oh, this is supposed to be about the birth, so they put the birth down. Whereas actually, it's about the origin of Jesus. Now, why on earth is this important? Well, it's got to do with the way people look at genealogies, the bits in the Bible that we think are rather boring. I heard a missionary to Papua New Guinea once talk about how he had he was translating the Bible into the local language. He had a helper who spoke that local language, and they got to the bit about the genealogy in Matthew, and all of a sudden this guy got really excited, and he exclaimed, "But you didn't tell me this was true!" And for him, it was the rooting of the story in the history like that, that meant that it really was about a real human being. So Matthew was writing for people who had that way of thinking too. And so he was concerned with that clear historical background of Jesus as being in the line of David, rather than the birth, which actually he hardly mentions. So Joseph is first of all important as being of King David's family. And he's an important figure in the Jesus story because he provides that historical root. But what Matthew says about Joseph in this passage is a lot more than that. We're told that Mary and Joseph are betrothed, which is the sort of word for engaged, really, to each other. But this is something that happened about a year before the actual marriage took place and was very much more formal than what we would think of as an engagement, and certainly much stricter. It involved a public ceremony, and it required divorce if the marriage did not go ahead. So it was also a time of abstinence. And the criteria for adultery also applied if there was any question of sort of sexual relationship with others during this period. Then, one unforgettable day, Joseph was told that his intended was pregnant. Matthew tells us that Joseph was a righteous man. And so, with everything else in his life, as he did with everything else in his life, he wanted to face this crisis in accordance with the law of Moses, with clean hands and a pure heart. Joseph knew very clearly what was the right and correct way to deal with what must have been a heartbreaking situation. As he wrestled with what this meant, there were two options that swirled around in his mind. Whatever happened, Joseph wanted to do what was right. So option one was to call for a public trial. This was something that Joseph was entitled to do, and Mary would have been tried and sentenced with potentially terrible consequences. Option two was more in keeping with Joseph's quiet manner and his broken-hearted sadness. This called for him to simply cancel the engagement and quietly dismiss Mary as his fiancée. We're told that because option two avoided that public disgrace, Joseph would discreetly divorce her and get on with his life. But let's also note what conventional righteousness would have meant for Mary. Being an unmarried mother in a world where everything came from one's husband or father. So conventional righteousness for Mary would have meant at worst a public stoning for her supposed indiscretion, or at least a lifetime of destitution with a child who could not claim anyone as his father. What sort of righteousness would that have been? Matthew tells us that Joseph had resolved to divorce her quietly, had considered to do that. Now, the word that's translated in various ways, resolved or considered, actually has a root that has the idea of intense displeasure, anger, indignation behind it. His hopes for a happy married life to the woman he loved had been dashed. You can imagine how he was feeling. Angry, devastated, heartbroken. He would also have had to struggle with humiliation and embarrassment, even while he still wanted to do what was right by her. Then an angel of the Lord appears to him in a dream, emphasizing his lineage as the son of David and asking him to do something radically different. Joseph would have awoken from that dream in a cold sweat, I imagine. All that he had believed about right and wrong, justice and injustice, everything he had believed about righteousness before God was being pulled apart. The boundaries of his ethical framework were being blown apart by a dream in which God told him to do something every fiber in his being wrestled with. Marrying a woman already with child and embracing the child as your own was way beyond his existing ideas of being right before God. This sort of adoption of Jesus as his son in that world actually put Jesus before his own children. In today's world, people can tend to think of adopted children as being a little bit less close, perhaps, than other children in a family. But in those days, it was different. For example, an emperor would actually adopt his successor, his chosen successor, and that person would take precedence over his natural children. Even in Jewish society at that time, adopting another child first would have meant that child was treated specially as the firstborn and heir. So Joseph was being told to abandon his inherited notions as to what was right and wrong and follow God's leading in that situation in a completely different way. He has been told to let go of the black and white certainties, the clear ethical guidelines, to do something he would have never imagined himself doing. I can envisage Joseph sitting bolt upright, you know, shaking with terror almost as he realized the implications of being called to move into ethical territory beyond what he knew and understood. Joseph, the righteous man, was about to discover God's superior righteousness, even more than justice and mercy. Now, Matthew presents Joseph as a human being of remarkable spiritual stature. He possesses that boldness, daring, courage, and strength of character to stand up against his entire community and take Mary as his wife. He did so in spite of forces that perhaps would have even wanted to stone. His vision of righteousness stayed his hand. In short, he was able to reprocess that anger into grace. So Joseph has been obedient to the word of the law. Now he's obedient to the word of the angel in his dream. That process of betrothal and marriage is completed as he goes to have the baby in Jerusalem. Though with one exception, Joseph does not know Mary. That's the way they refer to sexual relations in the Bible. For Matthew, it's important that Joseph, as the adopted father, now names the baby. And he gave him the name Jesus. And so the genealogy, the whakapapa, as you might say, of Jesus is complete. And as the son of David, Jesus will fulfill all the prophecies of God's Messiah, God with us, Emmanuel. So Joseph was a man who did not need even a real angel to appear to him to change the direction of his life, but only a dream. A man who put God's agenda for his betrothed before his own hopes. A man who left his home and his business for the sake of the girl he loved and the God he loved. A man who set aside that sexual expression of his love for Mary until after Jesus' birth, just as his son would set aside the joys of marriage and all that. A man who risked Herod's murderous intent later and was ready to lay down his life for his bride, just as his son would be ready to lay down his life for his bride, the church. He was a good father who showed his son things about how to live. And as a church, God has spoken to us too about seeking his righteousness. Joseph shows us a righteousness that is beyond what the rules or Christian ethics might say, beyond justice and mercy even. A righteousness which is obedience, even in the face of all sorts of strong emotions, which might make that more difficult. This is the righteousness that we are called to as well, to seek. And we will celebrate Christmas, God becoming fully human to be with us forever, because Joseph acted in a righteous obedience. So now, let us pray that we hear God's words to us and resolve to obey.